Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Pei Pei. And we're starting three lines from the bottom of the Amid, where the Gemara says, Umi Omar Shmuel Hachi. Now, what is this referring to? If you go back approximately 8-9 lines, where you see the two dots, we had Omar of Yosef, Omar of Yudah, and Omar Shmuel. Leholchu b'pikuach nefesh achar haroiv. When it comes to pikuach nefesh, you don't go after roiv. What does that mean? So the Gemara concluded yesterday, it's talking about a situation where you had, for instance, 10 people standing together. 9 Kusim and 1 Yisrael. 9 Goyim and 1 Jew. And the 10 were originally in one Chatzer, and then they moved on to another Chatzer. And now the question is, unfortunately, there was a building collapse, like Nebuchadnezzar's Surfside. And unfortunately, it fell on one of the 10. The other 9 quickly fled. So we have no idea who is that one that was caught underneath the building collapse. Based on normal percentages, I would say, there's only a 10% chance that it was a Jew. Says Shmuel, and makes no difference. When it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, you don't go after Roiv, and you start digging and digging, even if it's Shabbos Kodesh, and you're not worried about potential Chil Shabbos. Frank Dimar Umiyama Shmuel Hachi, did Shmuel really say that? We're down to three lines from the bottom of the Amud. Morning Barry, we waited and waited, we just started. We're three lines from the bottom of Pei Dal Amud Beis. So did Shmuel really say that you don't go after Roiv? What now we learned in the Mishnah. Now this is a Mishnah in Mesechtes Machshirin. Machshirin is a Mesechta in Seder Taharos, and it says, Matzah bo tinoik mushlach. What happens if you're walking down the street and you find, unfortunately, a young baby who's just left their hefker? Every once in a while you hear about things like that. They find a baby in a train station, or in front of the police station, or just in the middle of the street. And you're wondering, who is this baby? You don't know. So it says the Mishnah, Imroi Kusi Im Kusi. If most of the town people are Kusim, Gentiles, you can assume that this child is also a Gentile. Imroi Yisrael, if most of the town are Jews, you assume it's Yisrael, it's a Jew. Mechzal Mechzal Yisrael, if it's 50-50, then you assume it's a Jew. Now it doesn't say clearly with respect to what halacha do we mean. So we have now a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel exactly how to interpret this Mishnah. The Amar Rav. The Mishnah is like, you learn simply that you're walking down the street and you find the lost baby, nobody's claiming the baby, so to go and save the baby and be machayit, meaning to go and give it food. Brother Shai, thanks for joining. We're at the very bottom of Pei Dalet Amud Beis, last line. We're only talking about lachiyoisa, means to allow it to live. In other words, to take the baby home and feed the baby and give the baby a life. And therefore, if, for instance, it happens to be a town with his Roiv Yisrael, then Yisrael, you assume it's a Jewish baby and you save it. What means liyachsoy? Explains Rashi. What happens, for instance, if this baby turns out to be a girl? And then you hold on to this baby for a whole bunch of years. Nobody has claimed the baby. You're assuming it's a Jewish baby. And now years later, you want this baby to go for shiduchim, and you introduce this young lady to a kohen. A kohen would not be able to marry her. And the reason is because even though we're assuming al pirov, the baby is probably Jewish, but there is a good percentage that maybe it was not Jewish. And if the baby was not Jewish, and the only way that this baby can now marry into the Jewish people is you have to go and do Geirus Mitzad Chumra. And if that's the case, a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Geirus. So even though the Hachiyoisoi says, Rav, we're going to be Machmir, we're going to assume that the baby is Jewish, and therefore Yisrael, but not for Yichus purposes. There we have to be Machmir in the other direction, and we have to assume that maybe the baby, after all, was not Jewish. And although we went and gave Baruch Hashem life to this baby by saving it, but you cannot automatically assume that this baby can go and marry the rank and file of Klal Yisrael, and in particular Kehan. Now Shmuel Amar, we're on the top of Pei Hei Amud Aleph. Shmuel Amar Levakeach Olav Es Hagal. What does that mean? Oh, the case of our Mishnah, of our Gemara, that if Chas V'Sholem there was a building collapse on a child or on a person, that's what this Mishnah is coming to tell you. So now, on the surface, it sounds like what Shmuel is saying is that you have a collapse, and unfortunately there's a baby, there's a person underneath. So it says, Imroif Kusim Kusi, if most of the town are Gentiles, it's a Gentile. And if we don't have to worry, and it's not your business, you don't have to let the Gentiles take care of their own. If it's a Roiv Yisrael, then you have to be careful, then you have to do whatever you can to, because of Pikuach Nefesh, to unearth this baby, this person, to try to go and save them. Now, if that is the Pshat in Shmuel, then there's a stira Shmuel on Shmuel. Because Shmuel said yesterday, as we started off the Shiur, that leholchu bipikuach nefesh achar haroif. And we explained that that means that even if 90% of the people in question were Gentiles, please put yourselves all on mute because we hear some background noise. In case you have a situation where you have 10 people, 9 of them are Gentiles and 1 of them is Jewish, says Shmuel, I don't care that 90% are goyim. Leholchu bipikuach nefesh achar haroif, we're gonna save this child, this person, anyway. If that's the case, if that's what the Mishnah is talking about in Masechtas Machshirin, the Mishnah begins, Imroif Kusim Kusi, and says Shmuel, Levakeach Olav Es Hagal, that sounds like that we're not going to try to attempt to save this child on Shabbos. After all, Chil Shabbos to go and dig up the rubble, that would be a Shaila of Soiser or Boina, that would be prohibited. Is this Pikuach Nefesh? Pikuach Nefesh, of course, is Doiche, everything except for the 3 cardinal sins. So if that's the case, then I have a Stira. Shmuel says, yes, if Roiv of the Anoshim are Kusim, we still go and say, Mafakech es Agal, even on Shabbos. Here, however, we're saying it's the other way around. If Roiv Kusim, we assume it's a Kusim, we don't have to be Mefakech es Hagal. We don't have to try to go and violate Shabbos to save this person. Ever the Gemara ki itmar de Shmuel areisha itmar. No, it's the other way around. Shmuel is saying just the opposite. He's going on the reisha. What does it mean on the reisha? When it says in the reisha that imroif kusim kusi, Omar Shmuel, 3rd line from the top, ul'inyin bikuach nefesh einoikein. Even though you said roif kusim, you assume that the child is a kusi, but not legabi pikuach nefesh. If it's pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, even though there's a 90% chance that the child is a kusi, I don't care. It's pikuach nefesh, we're going to do whatever we have to do, even to violate all the lamites malachas on Shabbos to go and save this child or this person. That's what Shmuel said, Lefakech Olam HaSegal. Ignore these rules about Roif Kusim Kusi. Makes no difference. It's Pikuach Nefesh, we're going to go and violate Shabbos, Machal Shabbos, to go and save human life. Frank Timora, that's a very good teretz, but now, what does that mean? So what does it mean in the Mishnah, im roif kusi im kusi, if you're telling me, lahach yoisar lefakeach es hagal, we consider it to be the potential of a Jew, because we don't go after roif by pikuach nefesh. See, im roif kusi im kusi lamay hilchasa, omra papa lahach iloi neveilois, to go and give him to eat non-kosher. Meaning, unfortunately, there's a baby stuck under a building collapse. It's Shabbos. There's a 90% chance, maybe a 95% chance, that this baby is not Jewish. Makes no difference. We're going to go and violate all Hilchos Shabbos to go and try to save this baby. Fine. But after I save the baby, and now, Baruch Hashem, the baby is in my home, what am I going to do with the baby? Nobody else is claiming the baby. What do I do? So, of course, I have to feed the baby. Now we all know that kosher food is much more expensive than non-kosher food. Says Shmuel, you're allowed to go and firsh. Says Shmuel that the pshat in the Mishnah is, you're allowed to go and serve this baby non-kosher food. Because that's what the Lashon Mishnah is. Although, when it comes to Bikuach Nefesh, you don't go after Roiv. You save everybody. It makes no difference. But once you save that person, if Roiv Kusim, if this is a town where most of the people are non-Jewish, then you can go and serve this baby non-Jewish food. How long can you continue serving this baby non-Jewish food? Says Rashi, Achi Yigdal the Yikabel Olav Geiris. If eventually when the child becomes Bar Mitzvah or Bas Mitzvah, and we're going to give them at that time an opportunity to make sure that they are Jewish, they've been growing up Jewish for the last 12, 13 years, they're in my Jewish household, if at that time they say, yes, we want to be absolutely 1,000% full-fledged Jews, and they are Megayer, then of course at that point, you can no longer serve them Nevelis Utrechus. Now the Mishnah continues. Yes?
Is there a question of chinuch, of not serving them nevelas al chinuch in case they are going to be misguided to serve them nevelas when they're younger, when they undermine the chinuch of only serving them kosher food?
There's only a halach of chinuch by Jewish children. There's no halach of chinuch by non-Jewish children. So until that non-Jewish child decides that he or she wants to become a ger, no reason to have to mechanach them. You don't have to teach them aleph beis, you don't have to teach them chumash. Because Roiv Kusim Kusi, in all likelihood, it's a non-Jewish child. But the Mishnah continues, Im Roiv Yisrael Yisrael, if most people in that town happen to be Yisraelim, then they're Yisrael. Frankly, Mother by Hilchasa, what does this come to tell you? Lahachse loy avei dosoi, to return his avedim. Back in the Bovis, in Masechtas Bava Kamma, we learned that because the Gentiles did not accept the Torah, they didn't even accept the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, so it says in the Pasuk, Vayater lehen goyim, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is matter for them the halacha, meaning, okay, you don't want to accept it, you don't accept it. But because of that, we do not go and return the aveda of a Gentile to a Gentile. If you know that this aveda belongs to a goy, there's no mitzvah to go and return it to him. So now, if the roiv of this community happened to be Yisraelim, then you do have to return the aveda. You have to be machris, who lost it because there's a 51% chance that this belongs to a Jew and not to a goy. Mechza mechza Yisrael, l'may hilchasa. What did the Mishnah come to tell you? If it's 50-50, you deem it to be Yisrael. Omer Yishlakish l'nezok in the gabi hilchois nezek. Hey chidami. So what is this all about? So Rashi explains, b'kitzur, like we learned back in the Sechtes Bava Kamma, there's a difference by Jews between a shor tam and a shor muad. If a shor tam goes and attacks and causes damage, since it's only a tam, you only have to pay chotzi nezek. Once it becomes a shor muad, after three times, you have to go and pay nezek shalem. Aha, but that's only between Jew and Jew. What's the halacha between Jew and goy? If a Jewish shor, Jewish ox, gored that of a Gentile, or vice versa, the ox of a Gentile gored the ox of a Jew. What's the halacha? So Rashi reminds us from the Sechtes Bava Kamma that there it says that a shor shel Yisrael shenogach shel kusi is potur. A Jewish shor caused the damage, he's potur. The other way around, a shor of a goy shenogach shel Yisrael, even a tam has to pay nezek shalei. Aha, okay, so now I have a situation where I have mechza al mechza. We deem it to be Yisrael for nezek purposes. So what do you mean? Are we talking about that one of our oxen, meaning the ox belonging to a Jewish person, went and gored the ox of that child who grew up and has now his own oxen, and we gored one of his oxen? So what's the din? You're saying, okay, we're going to deem that fellow to be a Jew, and we're going to go and pay him. Frankly, well, why do we have to pay him? Naisiraya Venishkar. That victim of the damage should have to go and prove that he's Jewish. Since it's Mechza Mechza, there's at least a 50% chance that this is a non-Jew. And if he wants to collect as if he happens to be a Jew, let him prove it. Hamoitzi Mechaveroi Olovaraya. It's the other way around. The Nakhi Turididei, the Turididan. oh, the ox that belonged to that individual, and I don't know if that individual is Jewish or not, it's a 50-50 chance, it's mechze al mechze. So that individual's shor, what is menageach? Our shor, meaning a Jewish shor. So if we knew for a fact that that individual happens to be a Gentile, then he would have to pay nezek shalom. If we know for a fact that he's Jewish, he has to pay chotzi nezek, because it's a shor ta. Zokti yomara, pal geyovle. He has to go and give at least the 50%, not at least, he has to give 50% as if he was Jewish. But either part of the other 50%, if we want to demand that he pay the other 50, namely, Aisiraya de la Yisrael ano ushkoil, then that individual can go and say, bring proof that I happen to be a Gentile, and then I'll give you the other 50%. Since you cannot prove that I'm a Gentile, I might very well be Jewish, I only have to pay 50%, like any short time, you only have to pay chutzi nezik, and not nezik shalom. So that's what it means, mechtz al mechtza, he has a din of a Jew, that he only pays 50%, he doesn't have to pay nezik shalom. Good. So continuing on the Mishnah. Now, to understand the next few lines, we should take a quick look at the Mishnah again. The Mishnah is back on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. And we start three lines before the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is towards the bottom of the Amud. So 2.5 lines, 3 lines before the end. It says, Mishnah Nafla Olav Ma'poilis. If Chas V'Shalom, a building collapse, fell on an individual. Sofik Husham, Sofik Enisham. I'm not sure if the person is there or not. In Surfside, there's still 121 people unaccounted for. So I don't know if the person was under that collapse when the building collapsed. Sofik chai, sofik meis. Even if I know that he was there, I don't know if he's alive or chas v'shalom he passed away. And even if I know he's alive, sofik kusi, sofik yisrael. I don't know whether he's Jewish or non-Jewish. Says the Mishnah, makes no difference. Mefalchen olav es hagal. You have to go and unearth the gal, even on Shabbos, because of pikuach nefesh. That's the focus of the Mishnah at this point, the Gemara at this point. The next few words we're going to have in another few lines, but we might as well speak about it. Now, Matzu Chai, if we find that the person is alive, he's still partially covered by the building rubble, but if he's alive, Mefachin, we continue digging to go and free this body so that person hopefully will live. Not just a body, a living person. We find him alive, continue digging to get him out. If we find Nebuchadnezzar, but he's dead, Yanichu, just leave the body there on Shabbos because the body is Muktzah. So let's get to the Gemara now. Zok Gemara here on Pei Hayamid Aleph, quarter down the Ovid. Why does the Mishnah keep on repeating? Is he there? He's not there. Is he alive? Is he not alive? Is he Jewish? He's not Jewish. So Gemara, Loimim Boy Kama. The Mishnah is telling you Chidushim. Know what? Loimim Boy Safik Husham, Safik Enisham. Not only in a case where there's a 50-50 chance that he's not even there. The EE say, Chayhud Mefachin, that if he is there and he's alive, then avada we should go and continue digging on Shabbos. Ela philosophic chai suffic meis, even if there's a 50-50 chance that Nebuchadnezzar died already, makes no difference. Mefachin, you go and dig and you try to go and get this person out of the rubble. V'loimi boy yisafik chai suffic meis to Yisrael. And not only a case of Safik Chai and Safik Meis of Israel, where the person that is under the rubble, under the building collapse, is Jewish. Even if the 50-50 chance that he's not even Jewish makes no difference, Mefachin, under all circumstances, we're going to go and be Mechal Shabbos to try to find this individual. He might be there, he might not be there. Even if he's there, he might be dead. And even if he's dead, even if he's alive, he might be non-Jewish. Makes no difference. Mefachin olav hesagal. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that safik pikuach nefesh is doiches haShabbos. And like Shmuel said yesterday, even if it's a 90-95% chance that the person is not Jewish, it makes no difference in holchem pikuach nefesh achar harayf. And then the Mishnah continued on. Matzu chai mefachin. If we find that he's alive, then of course, continue digging to free this individual from all of the rubble. And of course, if you see that he's alive, don't you want to do the most you can to get the person out and to save him? Even if you have the 12 professors and doctors that say, yes, he's still alive, but he's really alive only by a hair. By the time you get him out from under the rubble, he will have passed on, because this person has no chance to survive. It's impossible. Now remember, we're talking at a time where they didn't have modern medical technology and stuff of that nature, and therefore the doctors concluded this person does not have a chance, one in a million, to survive more than another 5 minutes. So even though he's still breathing, it's his last breath, so I might think, okay, just leave him there. What difference does it make? In another few seconds, it's going to be over. In another few minutes, it'll be over. No. The Mishnah is telling you, if he is alive, you got to go and do the most and the best you can to free him, even though you are convinced and the doctors are convinced that it's only a question of 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, mafach mesaka. On the other hand, the mace, if he's never dead already, just leave the body. If he's dead, he's dead. There's nothing you can do about it. And therefore, just leave him until after Shabbos. Don't continue being mefakeh hasagal. It comes to tell you, a chiddush loit Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. That's a very unusual name, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. We, of course, have throughout Shas, Reish Lakish, or Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, who was an Amoira. He was the brother-in-law and Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, as everybody knows. This name, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, is highly unusual. And in fact, back on Nun Gimel Amid Beis, you'll recall we already had a Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish on Nun Gimel Amid Beis, 4 lines from the bottom of the Amid. And ben Lakish was in parentheses, and we had the Masoris HaShas, who was going back and forth saying the Marsha took out the words ben Lakish. Where do you ever find Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish? It sounded so unusual that it's wrong. But the Masoris HaShas says in Ois Ches, but here our Tana on Daf Lamed, on Daf Pei Hey, we do find Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish after all. So therefore, this is somewhat of a controversial name, because rarely do you find this name Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, and in fact, it's a Tana, it's not even an Amoyer. The sign, it says in the Braisa, Im Matzilin Esamesmet Lehadleka. What happens if Chas V'Sholom there is a fire that broke out in a house, and there's Nebuch, a person who passed away, either from the fire or he was dead already from before? So the question is, what should I do about that mess in the middle of the fire? Says the Tana Kama, don't do anything, because after all, you're only allowed to go and extinguish the flames to go and save a live person. If the person is already dead, then it's an Isser Shabbos to go and put out the flames. You're not going to be mechaba esh on Shabbos. So, just let the fire continue roaring. You have no right to go and put it out. No, I heard, although you cannot put out the fire, but you're allowed to go and have quickly the Chevra Kadisha or Shomrim or Chaverim or Hatzalah go and pick up the mess and pull it out from the flames. Make sure, of course, that you're safe yourselves. But you're allowed to go and be matzah some mess from the Adleka. Now the question is, why? What's the reason why? The Chayra, there's no Heter, the mess is Nebuch Muktzah. Nebuch's going to be a grossy bizoyin if it's a burned body, but what can you do? It's Shabbos. Says our Mishnah, in the case of a fire, matzilin. But in the case of a building collapse, in Meis, Yanichu, we do not move the body, we leave the body there. So, why take manishtana? Says, you have to Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish leikama. When Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says in that case, that you're allowed to be matzil es hames with the adleka, and we talk to Odom Bohol al Meisoi, Iloi Sharisale Osalech Buye. A person, whenever he has a Rachman Litzlan, a mess, a person's Chas V'Sholom, his father, his mother, a close relative Nebuch passed away. And there's a fire which is roaring, which is soon going to go and Nebuch incinerate the body. A person is going to be so bohul, he's going to be so confused, so agitated, irritated, tzichisht, tzimisht, tzeridert. What is he going to do? I'm afraid if you don't give him a heter to move the body, he's going to say, well, I'm going to put the fire out. If he's going to put the fire out, it'll be oyver issa d'oraisa. So therefore, it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, the Chachamim were maker, were matir their issur of mukta, and they said, move the body away, so he shouldn't be oyver issa d'oraisa. Aval hacha, in our case, ilo sharisale, my isle lemevan. If you're not going to go and permit him to go and take away the mess, so what is he going to do? He's going to try to rebuild the building. I mean, the building already collapsed. The person's already dead. Okay, he's going to be lying there for the rest of Shabbos. It's unfortunate, but nevertheless, there's no hetzer to go and move the body on its own. We had back in Masechta Shabbos, if you put a kikar on, then you might be able to go and move it based on it's now a not just totally muktzah, you have both a davar hetzer and a davar muktzah together. But the Gemara is not going into those details. The Gemara is just talking about what it says in the Mishnah, that if you find the body dead, leave it there, don't touch it. Okay, so now we said before that if you find that the person is alive, that mafakhin, even if it's for chayisha. Now how do you determine whether a person is alive or not? So in the times of Chazal, there were two indicators. Is the heart beating? And number two, is the person breathing? And in fact, even today when you have first responders coming onto a scene of a person who's unconscious, the first two things they do is determine whether he's breathing, and then they determine whether or not he has a pulse, whether the heart is beating or not. It's Tanur Rabban. Shtein Nebrais. Ad Heichen Hu Boidek. How far should a person go and check to see if a person is alive or dead? Ad Choit Mai. Go and check his nostrils. In other words, check whether he is breathing. V'yeshavim. Others say, Ad Liboy. You should go and check whether his heart still has a pulse, whether there's still blood going back and forth. Bodek ummatza, what happens if he was boidek, and he found elyoinim mesim, that unfortunately there are a few people, one on top of the other, and the upper body's unfortunately already dead. Loyoimekvar mesu hatachtoinim, don't go and say, well, if there are five bodies, one on top of the other, we already inspected the first two, three, and they're all dead. Probably four and five are also dead. No. You cannot make that assumption. Because maybe there's an ear pocket down below. Maybe the one on the bottom has more insulation in his or her body. And so therefore, although the top ones are dead, maybe the bottom ones are still alive. In Masahoya, Umutmotsu El Yoinim Mesim, it was taka such a story, that they found upper bodies never had passed on. The Tachtoinim Chaim, but the ones down below were still alive. Good. So we see at the beginning of this braisa that there's a machloikis, whether ad choitmai or ad libai. Says Yimon, name ani tanoi kani tanoi. L'choy the machloikis, whether the determination of whether a person is alive or not, based on blood circulating in the body from the heart, or based on breathing through the nose, l'choy that's the same machloikis to sandi like we find in a braisa, meheichan havlad noitzer. When a fetus is born or created inside the mommy's womb, how does it start? What is the first point where afterwards the baby grows and grows until it becomes 9 months so that it's at that time able to go and be born? So, Me'echan Avlad Noitze. So, Tanakam says, Me'roshe. From the head, Shenemer says, Me'pasim, Me'e'imi, Ata Goizi. From the womb of my mother, Ata Goizi, you. Now, Parshat Pshat Goizi means to go and cut off. You cut me off, meaning you got me out of the womb. The only one, but there's another pasuk, Gozi Nizrech Lihashlichi. And the word Nizrech in this case, says Rashi, means to hear on the head. It might be related, of course, to the Indian of a Nozir, who's not allowed to go and cut his hair. So Nizrech means to hear on the head. It's Gozi Nizrech, you go and cut the hair, Lihashlichi, and you throw it away. So since the word gozi means over here, it's related to the word here, gozi nizrech, so therefore the me'imi after gozi, the Gemara is assuming you know how the fetus started off. It started off initially by the gozi, by the hair on the head. So the head was the first thing that was created by Hashem in this womb, then after that expanded to the rest of the body. Abishol oimim mitiburai. He says, no, it was created from the center of the body, from specifically the navel. But the quote that Gemara is learning now is labd after the navel. It really means from the center of the body. And as the body grows and grows inside the mommy's womb, so then it spreads like branches all over, or roots all over, which eventually become extremities, become hands, it becomes legs, becomes arms, and the rest of the body all grow from the middle. So therefore the Gemara is saying, just like when a child is born or initially created in utero, according to one man, the Yomar, it starts from the head. According to the other man, the Yomar, it starts from the navel, from the middle. So that's the same machlek as we had before. that the first Mandi Yomer says you check the Choyt Moy, the nose, because that's part of the head, that's where the child first began living, first was created. And the same thing is the second Mandi Yomer that says Adli Boy, that's like the Mandi Yomer that holds that it's Mitiburai from the navel. That both of them are saying that it's Kiboile Kach Poltoi, Haitana Achnosa Haitso Korile, meaning that this child was born from either the head or from the heart, from the navel. And when Chas V'Shalom, the person is passing away, the same determination is made from the head, meaning from the nose, from the breathing, or from the heart, which is next to the navel. That's what the Gemara assumes in the Havamina, that one is totally Ha'abaha. Says the Gemara, no, really you have no right. I feel the Tema Abishol. You can go according to Abishol. Abishol can hold Utsa Mechoit Moi. Because Ad Kan L'Kamer Abishol, Hosam El Inyi Yetzira. All Abishol is saying is that when the baby is first created in utero, the Yetzira, the Cholmidit, the Mitziyasa Mitzah, everything is created from the middle, and then everything seems to grow and expand to the right and to the left and up and down, and therefore it's taka true a baby is created according to Abishol from the heart, from the chest, from the navel, and then it expands. But even Abishol would agree that after the person is alive and comes out of the uterus and is now walking around and going and coming and going, then the ikar determination of whether the child is alive or not is bi'ape, through the nose, where the person is breathing. Dichsiv, kol hashem nishmas ruachayim bi'apov. Oh, so you see that that's the key indicator, is through the nose and not from the heart, according to Abishol. Omer HaPapa. The Papa goes now back on this machloikis of Ad Choytmoy and Ad Liboy, and he says, machloikis mimata lamala. Mimata lamata, kiv debodikli Ad Choytmoy shild einoi tzarech. Says Rav Papa, that when you are having a machloikis, whether you check the nose or you check the heart, it depends whether you're going upwards or you're going downwards. Meaning that the firefighters and the rescuers are trying to save people, as many as they can, and they have found Nebuch, a person buried underneath the rubble, and they find the feet first. So they are now going and clearing away the rubble, slowly but surely, from the toes up to the knees, up to the waist, they reach the heart. At this point, they see the heart is no longer beating. Can they then assume this person is dead? Says the Yesh Oimrim, yes. As soon as you find that the heart no longer is beating, that means life has ended, nothing to talk about, just leave the body there on Shabbos. The other man, he always said, no, the heart is not the indication. Keep on moving up until you get to the Choytmai. If you see the person is not breathing, that shows you that the person, Chas V'Shalom, had passed away. So that's Mimata L'Mala. Abba continues, Rapapa. Abba Malamata, if you started from the head, in other words, you found the body of this person under the rubble, under the building collapse, and you find the head first, Kivan the Bodhikle at Choytmai, once you see that the person no longer breathing, Shavenitzer, everybody agrees, don't bother going down to the heart, because if he's no longer breathing, that's the end. That is the indicator. That's the halacha of our Gemara. The modern day contemporary poskim, when I say modern day, I'm referring to the Moshe Zatzal, as well as other great poskim of the past and the current generations, deal with all types of new medical technology. And Rav Moshe says, this is all in the times of Chazal, where at that time, all you had was the breathing. If the breathing stopped, that means that the person was dead. However, today, because of modern science and modern medicine, you could have a situation where the person did stop breathing for a short period of time, and after you do CPR and shocking and giving whatever medical techniques that we have today, you could have a, if you will, a tchias amesim, the person could live after all. And as we know that even after the heart stops, the brain continues to function, and sometimes vice versa, sometimes you have brain death, and the heart continues to function. So those are heavy-duty, modern-day shilas, what is considered to be dead and what is not. Okay, continue, Gemara, you can put two dots over here. Now the Gemara tells us what is the mekayer that pikuach nefesh is doicha everything, even Shabbos kodesh? What is the mekayer? So first we're going to go and bring a story. Ukvar hayir Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, Mahalchim b'derech. These three great giants, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, they're all walking together. And our Mishnah says, or our Gemara says, the Levi haseder, Rabbi Shmuel ben Noishir, Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, Mahalchim achareim. Levi haseder and Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Loz ben Azariah, were walking after them. Now what does it mean, Levi haseder? So if we look at Rashi, Rashi says, I don't know. See Rashi, Levi haseder, about 10 lines before the end of Rashi, Loi poydishli mahu, says Rashi, I don't know. I don't know what this means, haseder. We don't mean the famous Levi that was a contemporary of Rav that you have in the Gemara quite frequently. He was an Amora, here we're talking about Tanoim, and we just call him Levi. We don't call him Levi Haseder. So Rashi says, I don't know who this guy is. I don't mean guy. I don't even know who this person is. You notice that there's an asterisk next to Loi Parish Limahu, and that goes to the Gilyan Hashas. Gilyan Hashas says, look up Mesechtes Brachas Daf Chof Hei Omid Beis. When you look it up, you're not going to find the answer. But what you are going to find is that famous Rabbi Kiva Eger, who lists about 50 or 60 places in Shas where Rashi says, I don't know. Kiva Eger, of course, didn't have the benefit of Googles or of search terms or of computers, but he had a computer mind. He knew Gan Shas on his fingertips, and therefore he brings 50 or 60 different places, Loi Poirash, where Rashi says, I don't know what the Makar is, I don't know, I didn't hear, I don't know what the Pshat is, etc. You can see the Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zazayin Gesund and Stark, has Hago'os on his Gemara and Daf Chofei Amidei. Somebody once showed it to me, his Gilyon of his Gemara, and he adds another 10 or 20 similar places, presumably not in Shas. I'm assuming Rabbi Kiva Eger covered all of those, but presumably those are places in Chumash and Tanakh or other places where Rashi says, I don't know. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky added that on the bottom of his Gemara, additional 20 or 30 such makaris. Good. But what does that have to do with our Gemara? What means V'levi HaSeder? So there's a Sefer, Siach Yitzchak, which is a very prominent achrayin on Mesechtes Yuma, that says Levi HaSeder means someone who is baki in the Mishnayis and the Braisois, and therefore he was Mesader, the Mishnayis and the Braisois, among the other Tanoim. He would go and organize them to show them the body of Braisois that they had at that time. Here, the Masoris Shas, you have Ois Hei, my Gemara, he says that there's another gear, so not Haseder, but Hasered. What means Hasered? So he gives two pshatim. Either it means that he was the manufacturer of Big Day Srod. You have the term Big Day Srod in the Torah. As Big Day Srod were used to go and cover all the clay shores when the Mishkan moved from place to place. Those were coverings. So he manufactured such covers. Or another pshat says, Masari Hishas, it means that he was a manufacturer of mitzudais, of nets. So, you have a number of pshatim, what this Levi HaSeder means, but what happens? So you have these three, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Lozer, Ben Azariah, walking, and the two following them. So when they're walking together, what do you think they're talking about? These three giants are not talking about politics, but they're talking about halacha. How do I know pikuach nefesh is doicha? So the Gemara goes in order. Number one, Rabbi Shmuel, and then Rabbi Shmuel, the Omar. We have the halacha in the Torah of Machteris, he motzi ha-ganef. What's the din if chas v'sholom you have a ganef, a burglar, who is burglarizing your home at night, but Machteris, it's all dark? The halacha is that since this individual may be coming not just for money, but chas v'sholom also to kill, you're allowed to go, and in self-defense, you're allowed to kill him first. Okay, so the Gemara, Mazeh Shesofik Al Mamon Bo Sofik Al Nefashos Bo. I don't really know whether he's coming just for money, or Chas V'Sholom, he might, Chas V'Sholom, kill someone. Ushvi Chesdonim, and the bloodshed, if Chas V'Sholom, someone killed someone, Metami Yisa'orah, to cause a tremendous tumah to go and fall on the earth. How do I know? Rashi brings the Pasuk in the Parsha of the Rotschim, those people that kill Bishogeg, V'Leisetami Yisa'orah, don't go and bring tumah to the land by killing people. And continues more of a goyim the shchinah should to salvage me Yisrael. If chas v'sholom, if a person killed then Shechina leaves the world, leaves from Klal Yisrael. Because it's in the pasuk, "Lo yisatam yisaretz asher ani shoychein b'soycha." If there's chas v'shalom bloodshed, the Shechina leaves. But nevertheless, nitl natzil benafshe, the Torah says you're allowed to go until this ganav, even though it's only a suffix what he's coming for, mamain or nefashis. Kav v'chayim l'pekuch nefesh, shedoichas v'shabbos. If we're allowed to go and kill a person when it's only suffix pekuch nefesh, because maybe that person is coming for money, not for your life, but you're allowed to kill him anyway, then certainly you're allowed to go and save a life on Shabbos, where there you're not violating the din of killing of Ratzicha, you're violating the din of the Shabbos. Shabbos is considered to be less chomur than Ratzicha, because after all, Shabbos, Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha Shabbos, but Pikuach Nefesh is not Doicha, the inyan of Avodah Zarah and Shvicha Samim. So therefore I know from this that Pikuach Nefesh Doicha Shabbos. That was Rabbi Shimon. Then Rabbi Kiva says, I have another right. What happens if you have a kohen, and that kohen is suspected of chas v'shalom killing somebody, and he is standing next to the mizbeach because it's his day to do service in the Beis HaMikdash, we schlep him out and we take him to court. But the Gemara darshes me'im mizbechi v'loy me'al mizbechi. We schlep him away from the mizbech, but we don't schlep him if he's already on top of the mizbech. In other words, if he already began the avoida, we let him conclude the avoida, and only after that we will take him away. Now this is so far in the middle of this story, of this braisa, about Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Lozman, Azariah, and now the Gemara takes a short break. It's obvious that Rabbi Kiva would not be quoting Rabbi Yochanan because Rabbi Yochanan was in a later generation. Rabbi Kiva was a Tana, Rabbi Yochanan was an Amorit. That but it says that if we want to take this coin away to Bezdin to go and prosecute him, that chas v'shalom he may have killed someone, we will not remove him from the top of the Mizbeach. We will let him finish the avoid. If, however, somebody else is in Bezdin and they're prosecuting him for Misa, and I was told that this kohen who's in the middle of doing the avoid on top of the Beis HaMikdash, on top of the Mizbeach, that he might have some testimony that would save this other fellow, we're going to take him even if he's in the middle of doing the Zerika Saddam, the Nasina Saddam, putting the Eivorim on the Mizbeach. We're going to say, Yankel HaKoyim, get off. We need you desperately in court to go and save another individual. Aha. Afilu mi'al mizbechi. Says the Gemara. Umaze sheshofik yesh mamish bedvarev, sofik ein mamish bedvarev. Maybe when he comes to court, the lawyers are going to be able to attack his credibility to the point that, in fact, the court is going to dismiss his testimony and say, sorry, I'm going to discount and not even consider, I'm going to disregard that testimony. Nevertheless, we say, take him down from the Mizbeach and schlep him into the Bezin to testify. Now, that means that to be Mechayah someone, the potential of saving someone is greater than Avoid. Avoid is greater than Shabbos. How do we know Avoid is Deche Shabbos? Because every single Shabbos, we are Mechal Shabbos to go and Shecht the two Kabonois Tamid, as well as the two Kabonois, the two Kvasim for the Musafir. So, Avoid is stronger than Shabbos. The aid is to save someone is greater than Avoid. So I see that Bikuch Nefesh is Deche Avoid and Deche Shabbos. It's called Choyim Bikuch Nefesh Deche Shabbos. That was Rebbe Kiva. Now, then Rebbe Loza, which is Rebbe Loza ben Azariah, the Omar, Umamili Shiachim Masayim Varboi Mishmoine Vardim Shiba'odim, Doiches HaShabbos. When it comes to Bris Mila is only one out of 248 Eivarim. And the Torah says, V'yoy Mashmini Yimel Basar Alasa, V'yoy Mashmini Afilu B'Shabbos. So that's why Mila Bizman is Doiches HaShabbos. But says Rashi, that's only a tikkun, we're only in a sense fixing one out of 248 Eivarim. And that's Doiches HaShabbos. It's called V'chaimer if we want to fix L'kol Gufay. Chas v'shalom, a person is under a building collapse and we want to fix the entire person by saving him. Avad Doiches HaShabbos. And that's the end of the braisa and the story of the three plus the two that we're traveling and we're talking and learning. And now we add additional mandiyamim. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, Eshab Soysen Tishmoiru. It says that you have to go and keep Shabbos. Yochel HaKoil, I would think that that means under all circumstances, no exceptions to the rule. Talmud Loimer, it says in the Pasuk, Ach, Eshab Soysen Tishmoiru. Ach, Cholak. Ach comes to tell you there are exceptions. What is the exception? In the case of Pikuach Nefesh, where there you do not have to keep Shabbos, you're Mechal Shabbos. Rabbi Yonis and Yosef Omer, Ki Kodesh Ilacham, Torah, I'm sorry, Shabbos is Kodesh, but it's He, Mesura B'yadcham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has given Shabbos into our hands, meaning we are in control of Shabbos, V'loi Atem Mesurim B'yadah, but Shabbos is not in control of us. What does that mean? That if Chas V'Shom, there's a Pikuach Nefesh, we say to Shabbos, sorry Shabbos, we push you aside, Pikuach Nefesh is Docha, that supersedes the union of Shabbos. Reb Shimon Nasi Oimer, V'Shom V'nei Yisrael Esa Shabbos, Lasi Esa Shabbos, V'Rois and Bris Oilam. Then why does he repeat the word Shabbos twice? V'Shom V'nei Yisrael Esa Shabbos, Lasi Esa Shabbos. Says Imar, Amr Toira, Chalil Olav Shabbos Achas, K'nei Sheyishmar Shabbos Es Harbe. That if Chas V'Shom a person is sick, says the Torah, be machal this Shabbos to save the neshama of this person so that he should be able to be a shomer Shabbos in the future for many more Shabbos. So we see Pikuach Nefesh, Dreichus HaShabbos. Om Rav Yudah Mishmuel. Now Shmuel, of course, is a later day Amoira, and he says, Yavoi Hasam, if I were there, have a minute, Adiva Midetu, I would say a better pshat, and I think that this Makar that I'm quoting now, is better than all the others. It says in the Pasuk, V'chai behem, V'loi sheyamus behem. What does it say, V'chai behem? This is a Pasuk in the middle of Achri Mois Kedoshim. U'shmartim es chukoysev yes mishpatei asher yasa oysam o'odam, V'chai behem ani Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, yes, I want you to do all my mitzvahs, but I'm even more concerned that a Jew should live and not chas v'shalom die. And so therefore, a Jew's life is more valuable and more precious to Hashem than all of the other 610 mitzvahs, leaving out the three cardinal mitzvahs that we discussed yesterday, the three Avodah Zarah, Gilui Aroyos, and Shvichas Tavon. Or maybe it was Friday or Shabbos. Fine. So now, we had many different mekoidos brought of Pikuach Nefesh, Toichas HaShabbos. Omer Rav, Lekulu Islehu Pircha Bar Min Shmuel. Shmuel's pshat at the end, V'chai Behem, is the best. To Lesli Pircha, there is no kasha on his pshat. And now, Rava briefly goes through the pshatim that we quoted before. Terbi Shmuel, Dilma Kiddur Rav, the Yomar Rav, Maitam de Machteres, Chazok Eino de Mamet, Atmei Alma Moinai, Vai Medi Yoda de Koyli Ape. What is this all about? Rabbi Shmuel brought a raya from the case of Machteres. Machteres means you have a burglar in the middle of the night, and I'm not sure whether he's coming because of money, or whether he's coming for nefashis. So it's a suffering nefashis. And I say, you're allowed to kill him anyway. That was his raya. So if you murder, no. By Machteres, it's not a suffix. It's a chazaka. Every burglar knows that if he wakes up the owner of the house and that homeowner realizes he's being burglarized, you think he's going to go and say, burglar, come on in, take a seat, I'm going to offer you something to eat and to drink, you're going to be my welcome guest in the house. Oh no! The person is going to go and take out his gun, he's going to take out his knife, and he's going to try to protect himself and the family, and if you are able to, you have the right to go and kill the burglar first. Why? Because Chazak, everybody knows, a person is not going to go and allow his money to be stolen. And therefore the burglar knows in advance that if he wakes up the homeowner is going to come to go and challenge him. The Omar, therefore the burglar says to himself, if he's going to get up and he's going to challenge me, katil melei, I'm going to go and kill him. V'atayra amra, b'lahargecha hashkim lahargai. That the best self-defense is offense. If someone's coming against you to go and kill you, you're allowed to go and kill him. And therefore, v'ashkhan vadai. All we know from the Pasuk in Machteres is that if you have a vadai person who wants to kill you, you're allowed to kill him first. But something we know, but I don't know in a case where there's a savik. It's not like Rabbi Shmuel said, maybe money, maybe nefashis. No, it's for sure nefashis. This burglar knows that if the homeowner is going to wake up, he's going to come after him to go and kill him. He is therefore out for bloodshed. We want to know about Sofik Pikuach Nefesh. The Rabbi Kiva Nami. What was Rabbi Kiva's riot?
Our question initially was not suffering. It was the question was on
Vade Bikur Nefesh. All the more discussing back on the Amid Aleph is. Yes, yes. Understood. But the Gemara is now explaining that in each one of the cases, it wasn't just a Vade Bikoch Nefesh, it was even a Savim Bikoch Nefesh. Just like we have in our Mishnah, here, Mafakhan is a Gal, even though I don't know whether the person was there or not, even I don't know whether he's alive or not, even I don't know whether he's Jewish or not, Mafakhan is a Gal because Savim Bikoch Nefesh is Dechus Shabbos. So now the question is, what's the Makar? So all of these cases, the Gemara is assuming that the word Bikoch Nefesh includes both Vadai as well as Safik. How do I know? So says Rava now that from Rabbi Shmuel maximum you would have a raya for Vadai, but I still don't know Safik Bikoch Nefesh or Toichos HaShabbos. And similarly, we go to Rabbi Kiva. Remember, Rabbi Kiva brought the raya from the Al Mizbachi, the Im Mizbachi, that you go and take the Koyan away from the middle of the Avoida just because he might have favorable testimony. Zok the Yomara, the Rabbi Kiva Nami, Vilma Kedabai, the Yom Rabbi, Masrim Leizug and Rabbanon, Lei the Imam Shmidvarav, the Ashchan Vadai, says Rava. It could be that the case that Rabbi Kiva was talking that we're going to take this person off of the Mizbeach and not allow him to continue the Avodah because maybe he has testimony. Abaye said that's only if we first give him a faher, we first give him a test. In other words, he's standing there in the Mizbeach. Before we take him down, we say to him, tell us, what do you know about Yankel Smith that might be able to go and save him from death, Chas V'Shalom? So, we give him a whole Bechina with 10, 20, 50 questions. Masrin Lei Zuged Rabban, we have a pair of rabbis that go later to go and test him out. Imam Shmidvar. The Ashkhan Vadei, and if we see that yes, he knows what he's talking about, and he's a credible witness, then we take him off the Mizbech. But Safik Minolam, I still don't know about Safik Bikoch Nefesh. And the Gemara now does us a favor, and says, I'm not going to go through all the remaining cases. I'm sorry? Yes, Brother Shai?
Is he doing a Chatas? I can understand if he's doing a Chatas, he's on top of the Mizbech.
Yeah.
He's being spritzing on the tier on the Mizbech.
Yeah.
Lamata.
Yeah.
Where is he going on top of Mizbeach?
The first of all, the word Me'al Mizbechi could include not only a Karb Mechatas, it could also include those Kehanim that are being Maktir, the Aymerin on top of the Mizbeach. It could also include the Kohen who's doing the Nisach Hayayim. It could also be in the middle of Sukkis who's doing the Nisach Hamayim. And it also could be that Me'al Mizbechi is only an expression that any Kohen who is immersed in doing avoida at that time, we say, finish off the avoida, and then you'll leave and you'll come to Besdin to go and testify. Or then we are going to take you to Besdin to prosecute you. So it doesn't have to mean literally al mizbech, it means that he's in the midst of doing avoida, as opposed to a person who's just me'in mizbechi, he's just waiting on the side, waiting to be given a function, to be given a job, and at the moment he's not doing anything. But anyway, yes.
The Vodas aren't Mahakim. Right, I want you to just read so it's worth to them whether or not I think Mishdam, what we say that Mishdam then was the buzzer. So in other words, it wouldn't be, wouldn't interrupt the Kapora. Except in the, maybe if he's being spritzing the beginning of the, he's doing the Azals.
I appreciate that there's a difference between Zrika Sadama or Nesina Sadama in the case of the Chatos and any other type of Avoida which is secondary. Our Gemara doesn't distinguish. We would have to look up the Mefarshim to see whether or not when we say Me'al Mizbechi that if he's in the middle of Sheiris, whether it's only in the most vital of the Avoidas such as Nesina Sadama by Chatos, you're right, or whether it includes all types of avoida which are necessary, even though they don't rise to the level of Zrika or Hazoy Sadam. But getting back to the Gemara, now the Gemara says says Rava, and the same type of response we can give to all the other cases. Meaning, the next Rai, Rav Blosman Azari, the Gabi Mila, the Rai, the Gabi Ach Cholak, therefore Bikoch Nefesh, you're allowed to go and violate Shabbos, or Ki Kodesh Yilechem, it's Mesur B'yevchem, or Es B'shomen Yisroel, it's a Shabbos, last Shabbos Teroisim, it's a Shabbos multiple times. And all of these cases, we could also say the same Teretz, the Kulu Ashchan Vadei, that perhaps the maximum you can learn from all of those drushes is that if you know for sure you have a fellow Jew who is under the building collapse and you hear his heart beating and you can hear the breathing, that then you're allowed to go mefachem esagal. That's for sure. But something you know, and in all of these cases, how do you know that if it's only a Savik, he may not even be Jewish. And even if he's Jewish, he may be dead. And even if he's alive, maybe he's not even here under the building collapse. Maybe he left Florida a day earlier, a week earlier. So I have all these fakes. How do you know the mitzvah bikoch nefesh? Ude Shmuel vade lesley pircha. On Shmuel's drasha there is no pircha, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, yes, avad, I want you to mekayim my chukim and my mishpatim. But above all, v'chai behem, I want Jews to live. I don't want them, chas v'sholem, to pass away. And so therefore, even if there's only 1% chance that he's Jewish and that he's alive, go and save him. Do the most that you can, the best that you can, to go and save this individual. So that's the best pshat. Om Rabbeinu Yisim Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Tov Echada Palpalta Charifa, Nimalatzana Dikari. This is an expression. What the Gemara is saying is, it's better having one good, strong, sharp pepper, or peppercorn, or something similar, rather than having a whole basket full of gourds or of pumpkins. In other words, big, big gourds and pumpkins, those of course are very, very large in volume and in weight. A little pepper is a kleinigkeit, is nothing. But that little pepper, you go and put it into the soup or into the cholent, oh, does that, it is felt afterwards. Even this, it's so, so small, you feel the pepper. Mashenkin, you go and put it as many gourds and squashes and pumpkins into the soup and into this, it has very, very little demonstrable effect. And therefore, that's an expression to go and say, this small teretz of Shmuel, that was overrid, or it's stronger than all the other pshatim over all the other tanoim that we brought. Okay, so don't worry. We have a new Mishnah now. And this Mishnah is, in a sense, finally getting to what we would consider to be the guts of Yom Kippur. That Yom Kippur is mechaper in all Jews. It's a day of atonement. We've spoken about this almost nothing throughout the Masechta. The vast majority of the Masechta is focused on the Avodah v'Kohen Gadol. And now we're talking about even modern times. What is Yom Kippur all about? What's Tshuva all about? And we're going to have, until the end of the Masechta, this is the final Mishnah in the Masechta, we're going to discuss the powers of Tshuva and Yom Kippur. Zok the Mishnah. Chatas, if you bring a Karm Chatas, or you bring a Koshem Oda Oshem Vadai, as opposed to an Oshem Tolui, those kabbanis are mechaprim, they are mechaper, Rashi says, but you have to do tshuva. If a person ate chelev b'shogeg, and he doesn't really care, he says, okay, big deal, who cares? And he brings a karm chatas, okay, it cost me $500, so I just, that's my overhead, no problem. No, no, you got to go and do tshuva. If you bring a chatas or an oshem vadai, the mechaprim, they are mechaper, they give you atonement. Misa, v'yemekipurim mechaprim, ima tshuva. If a person passes away, or it's Yom Kippur, together with tshuva combined, he gets kapara. Tshuva mechaperes al veiris kalos, al asei ve'aloi sasei. Tshuva helps to go and remove smaller averis. What means smaller averis? Averis that you only get malchus, and you wouldn't get chas v'sholom misa, or karis. It's also mechaper lasei, ve'aloi sasei. Again, a regular lav. If, however, a person did an Aveira Chamura, in other words, it would be Mechayiv, Kores, or Misa, Misa B'dei Shemayim, Misa B'dei Adam, those are heavy-duty ones, then Tshuva is not going to help. You have to wait until Yom Kippur. The combination of Tshuva and Yom Kippur will be Mechayiv. Ho'aymer Echtu V'yoshev, Echtu V'yoshev. He must speak with Yodolas Tshuva. If a person says, since I know Hashem is such a Rachman, gives so much chesed, no matter how many aveiros, if I do tshuva, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to take away and be mechaper on my aveiros. So you know what? Let me have a good day. I'm going to do all different types of aveiros, and then tonight and tomorrow I'll do tshuva. or even after the Yashuv, after the Yashuv, he must be Gil has tshuva, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to help him. Not that a person cannot do tshuva. A person can always do tshuva. He must be Kimiyana means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to help him. Normally you have a Baal tshuva, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Messiah-loi. No, no, no. A Baal Gatayr, Poyschen-loi. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be Poyschen-loi to this fellow. After being Mikun Mechaper, Enyim Mikipurim Mechaper. If a person says, I will sin, but don't worry, Yom Kippur is around the corner, I'll have kapara. No, Yom Kippur is not going to help for that person. If it's something between him and Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mechaper and Yom Kippur. And that's why the custom is that people before Yom Kippur always ask from everybody, Yemoichel me, Yemoichel me, Yemoichel me. Even people that you've never met in your life, you go and say, Good Shabbos, Good Yom Tov, Yemoichel me. You want to make sure that there's no Aveish ben Odom Machaber. Torah Shiblos ben Azai, Yikol Chatzi Seichel Mnei Hashem Titorim. Aveish ben Odom Machaber, Yikbur Machaper. The Lefnei Hashem Titorim tells you, you did a chait, Yikol Chatzi Seichel Mnei Hashem, Hashem Titorim, Aveish ben Odom Machmokim, Yikbur Machaper. Aveish ben Odom Machaber, and Yikbur Machaper, Achiratze Chaber, as we just said now, because that's not Lefnei Hashem, you have to go over to your friend, Yankel Smith, please be moichel me on any aveira that I did. Omer Bekiva, Ashrechem Yisrael lefnei niyatan atarim. Look how lucky, how fortunate we are that we have a Kadosh Baruch Hu who allows for a kapora and a tahara. Mi mitar eschem, avichem shba shemayim shenemar. Zerakti aleichem, mayim toinim utaharte. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to go and sprinkle waters on you and you're going to become tohor. V'oyim mikvi Yisrael, Hashem. What is this mikvi Yisrael? What is the lamed? Mishnah takes it out. What the Pasuk is trying to tell you is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is the mikveh. Mikveh Yisrael, the mikveh for Klal Yisrael, if they have become tamei by doing sins, Hashem is the mikveh to be metar. Just like the mikveh is metar to meim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is metar to Klal Yisrael. We started the Mishnah that says that Chatas and Oshem Vadai is Masha Oshem Vadai in Oshem Tolui Loi. An Oshem Toli is not Mechaper. Everybody knows an Oshem Toli is that a person ate, let's say there were two pieces of fats on the table, and a person came and he ate one of the two. And then afterwards somebody else comes by and says, hey, there were two pieces of fat, what happened? Well, I ate one of the two. Well, one of them was kosher fat and one was chaylev, one was non-kosher fat. Which one do you eat? I don't know which one I ate. And eeny, meeny, miny, mo, I don't know. So then you bring a kosher carbon Oshem Toli, until you find out, if you ever find out that you were over on the Isra of Chayla, then you have to bring a carbon chattas. But until that point, the Oshem Toli is Tole. It's Megin Min HaYisurim. So our Gemara initially assumes that Oshem Toli is also Mechaper. The reason why the Gemara assumes that is because Rashi brings, it says in the Pasuk by an Oshem Toli, V'chiper Olavah Koyin Al Shigigose Asher Shogog V'nislach Lai. And that's from an Oshem Toli. Says Oktimar Oshem Vadi in Oshem Toli Loi Vakapara Ksiva Bay. It says Kapara there too. Ulta by Oshem Toloi. Evanimar Hanach and Oshem Vadai Mechapri Kapara Gemura. It's a full fledged Kapara. You don't need to do anything after that. But Oshem Toloi and a Mechapri Kapara Gemura. But rather it's Tola. Freitim Inami or Nochapshat. Hanach Ein Acher Mechapri Kaparasan. When it comes to a Chatas and Oshem Vadai, there is no substitute, but Oshem Toli Acher Mechaper Kaparasan, there is a substitute. And that substitute is called Yom Kippur. Tetnan, Chayovi Chatois Vashomois, Vadoin, if a person is Chayiv to bring Karm Chatas, or Koshem Oshem Vadai, a carbon Oshem Vadai. And now Ovelein Yom Kippurim, he didn't have a chance of bringing before Yom Kippur, but now Yom Kippur has passed, and he says to himself, okay, maybe I don't have to bring the carbon anymore. No, Chayov, and you have to still bring that Chatas Oshem Vadai. Yom Kippur is not a substitute. Hashem is Tuluyin Beturim. If you have to bring a Koshem Oshem Toli, and you didn't have a chance to bring it, and now it's Yom Kippur, then you don't have to bring it anymore. You're off the hook. That's the reason why Oshem Toli is not mentioned in the Mishnah. Means Yom Kippur Mechaper Machuva. Yom Kippur, the Gemara doesn't focus on the Misa, the Gemara focuses on the Yom Kippur. The Yom Kippur is Mechaper with Tshuva together. The Yom Kippur doesn't do it on its own. You have to do tshuva, and then Yom Kippur is mechaper. Name it like Rabbi the Sanya. Let's say not like Rabbi, because we have in the Braisa. Rabbi was very, very benevolent towards Klal Yisrael. And Rebbe says, Al kol avir shebetoyre bein osa tshuva bein le osa tshuva yem kippurim mechaper. Can you imagine? Rebbe says, if a person forgot to do tshuva, or he didn't do tshuva, makes no difference. The power of Yom Kippur is such, it atones for Klal Yisrael even without tshuva. Can you imagine? Azei zok Rebbe, bein osa tshuva bein le osa tshuva yem kippurim mechaper. Chutz, except for a person who is a real apikoyis. Person is a poetic ol, megal upanim a toish like alocha, mefer bris, basar. These are real big heretical types of mutiny and rebellion against Hashem. Then im osa tshuva yim kibur mechapim, li osa tshuva en yim kibur mechapim. But what do I see from Rebbe? Rebbe holds that Yom Kippur does it on its own. We don't need tshuva. Yet it says in our Mishnah, misav yim kibur mechapim, ma tshuva. The Mishnah go according to Rebbe too. What the Mishnah says that you need Yom Kippur in Machuva, it means to say Tshuva by Yom Kippur. If a person does Tshuva, there are certain Averois where Tshuva itself doesn't do the trick. You need to come on to Yom Kippur. However, says Rabbi, Yom Kippurim loy by Tshuva. Once Yom Kippur passes, even if you didn't do Tshuva, you got an atonement for all Averois. Mi'at Hashem. To be continued tomorrow, Rabbi Yisai. Have a wonderful day. Baruch HaBatzlacha. Tomorrow we'll be back to 8 o'clock, normal schedule. Zay Kizunt, everybody.